This is a podcast from the Canadian Youth Delegation to the UN Climate Change Negotiations. As we work our way into the second week of the UN Climate Conference, things are heating up outside of the conference center. We've got coverage of another special prize for Canada, and then Adam Scott gives us an update on the policy developments here in Cancun. We'll finish with special coverage of the Via Campesina-led march that took place today as part of the Thousand Cancuns campaign. Canada took second place during today's Fossil of the Day Awards for our Environment Minister's fantastical suggestion that Canada has banned dirty coal, when in reality, the recent steps that Canada has proposed to take are a far cry from a full ban. Up next, Thea talks with Adam Scott about the state of the negotiations thus far.
Adam, we're over a week into the negotiations. How have things progressed?
Well, so far, I'd say things have progressed fairly well. What's happened in the last week is all of the technical groups have been working on two major pieces of text, the LCA and the KP. So that's a long-term cooperative action plan for developing countries, and the Kyoto Protocol plan, which works on targets for developed countries. And now that we're about to start the high-level session, which is when the ministers come in, they have these two pieces of text all negotiated and ready to go for the ministers to decide on. And what's left in those texts are basically several options in each area. And so what we're pushing for is the ministers to make decisions on the good options and not the bad options in the text.
Have we seen progress made on any of the major issues here?
So far, it's definitely looking good that we will have some progress on accounting for the emissions from forestry under LULUCF. There's a good chance we'll have some agreement on how to move forward with the RED Plus program to reduce some emissions for deforestation and degradation. And I still think there's a good chance we'll get an agreement on how to move forward with finance as well, and probably a decision on who's going to oversee financing bodies and how money's going to get spread out. So if we have all of those things and one statement at the end that talks about how we're going to move forward into getting into a good legally binding agreement down the line, I'd say it's quite possible Cancun could still be a success.
So that legally binding agreement down the line, is that going to be the Kyoto Protocol or would it be something else?
So that's definitely the key point of contention in negotiations at the moment. It's quite likely Japan has said that we do not want to move forward with a second commitment period on the Kyoto Protocol. And the United States has been saying for a long time we're never going to join the second commitment on the Kyoto Protocol. And there are some other countries, Canada and Russia, that have been sort of quietly in the back room talking about not supporting that either. So we're definitely headed at the moment towards a showdown in the final day or so over whether or not the second commitment period will continue. And the implications of that are huge. If the second commitment period doesn't continue, we're really throwing out 10 years of negotiations. A whole legal framework under Kyoto that would set us back probably about 5 years at the minimum in getting a legally binding agreement that includes everybody. So everybody here is really crossing their fingers and hoping that we can put aside our differences and move forward on Kyoto.
On Tuesday, December 6th, Via Campesina, a global peasants movement, called for an international day of action on climate change. In communities around the world, including a number of communities across Canada, people took to the streets and gathered in peaceful people's assemblies to discuss the causes of climate change, its impacts on our communities, and actions that we can take at a local level to address the problems. Daniel Seeley was among the many Canadian youth delegates who marched in solidarity with Via Campesina. Thanks so much for taking the time to meet with me, Daniel.
No problem.
I was wondering if you could briefly summarize what happened at today's march.
So today in the march organized by Via Campesina, there was probably about 2,000 people, and we met on the highway heading out to the conference center. We marched towards the conference center where the UN Climate Conference is happening. And at the same time, some of the observers in the conference walked out to join us. And we got as far as we could on the highway until we hit a police roadblock where we sat down and started a people's assembly on climate justice. And the people who walked out of the conference made their way towards us and joined us in this people's assembly on climate justice.
Can you speak a little bit to the significance of this idea of having an alternative conversation around climate change?
Yeah, a People's Assembly. This is largely what this huge conference in Cochabamba, Bolivia was. It's a forum where everyone in the community can get together. They can talk about climate change. They can talk about the problems climate change causes, some of the causes of climate change, and then they can talk about solutions together. They can talk about local solutions that work for their communities. So this is basically a response to people's frustration with the UN process. And them saying, we're not going to wait for the UN or for our governments to solve this problem. We're going to start people's assemblies all over the world in different communities, and we're going to get communities to get to work on climate change and find solutions that work for them in their community.
So what's the significance of what happened today here in Cancun for folks back in Canada?
I think we also have to keep in mind that Canada is an Arctic nation. And I'm from the Arctic myself, and I can tell you we've seen a huge amount of warming there. I'm from the Northwest Territories, and since the mid-1950s, the average annual temperatures in the Northwest Territories have increased by 2.5 degrees Celsius, and that's huge. We should care about people, and I think most of us living in Canada, we do care about people. Canada is a nation that prides itself on its initiatives in peacekeeping, on helping people in other parts of the world. You know, we pride ourselves in fighting selflessly and very bravely in World War II to do the right thing, basically. And we should be taking the same attitude towards climate change, especially since we are a very multicultural nation. There are communities in Canada that have families all over the world. And those are people in countries that are going to be hugely impacted by climate change over the coming decades.
Thanks so much for your time, Daniel.
Thanks, Erica.
Hear more at canadianyouthdelegation.wordpress.com, citizenshift.org, babel.ca, or on iTunes.